Sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 17, The Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in His Youth. Verse 117, 266, page 114. Lord Chaitanya continued thinking, offer obeisances will relieve them of all their reactions to their offenses. Then, by my grace, devotional service, bhakti, will awaken in their pure hearts. Srila Prabhupada. It is said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai. Krishna Prema can be awakened in a purified heart. The more we offer obeisances to sannyasis, especially Vaishnava sannyasis, the more we diminish our offenses and purify our hearts. Only in a purified heart can Krishna Prema awaken. This is the process of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult, the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Right, so you're following the practices of Krishna Consciousness. And in that, the heart becomes purified. In the purified heart, within that, then love for Krishna can awaken. It won't awaken an impure heart. Why? Because impure means then it will have all the particular material desires and distractions. So as we were discussing this morning, then it means that the mechanics of Krishna's energies will see them not connected to Krishna. Right? So the point is Krishna conscious means you see all that connected to Krishna. Or you see Krishna, and then these things are the things you are, or that you connect. You understand? So, if you're seeing Krishna's energy and it's not connected to Krishna, you don't see its connection, that's because of the sinful identity, you know, of I'm the controller and the enjoyer. And then that comes with a whole, you know, plethora of ways in which you can think I'm the controller and enjoyer and previous activities based on how I've been the controller and enjoyer. Does that make sense? So it's not just, oh, you know, anything you like. It's very specific. It's a science, right? But it's the science of the nature of the soul and the consciousness and the relationship with Krishna. So you see, it's all full of very nice, wonderful, understandings and experiences, right? Nectar devotion is explaining all that. And so one doesn't have to worry about that, but the point is the heart has to be purified. So that's why we see in the last of the four, the last stanza, then it says, purity is the force. Yes. That's what makes things work, right? Not intelligence, not management. In other words, karma and gyan won't make it work. Just because that, knowledge and skills, that'll make it work. That's karma, right? Oh, knowledge will make it work. That's gyan. They don't make it work. Bhakti works by bhakti. Does that make sense? Yeah. 117, 267, 269. You know, it probably says this is the process of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult, the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So the point is it's eternal. It always works. This whole idea is that, you can't do these things anymore. One shouldn't take, it means there is a saying, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. How you are seeing things, you think that's how the whole world is. So because an individual can't see how it relates to Krishna, can't relate to themselves being involved in Krishna consciousness in this way, and then they claim that therefore no, it's just not viable these days. That's just a personal opinion. It has nothing to do with reality. Okay. So everyone gets a different... anyone gets this one? No? Okay, yeah, okay. Die. Lord Chaitanya continued thinking, all the unfaithful rogues in this world can be delivered by this process. There is no alternative. So when God says there's no alternative, there is no alternative. Right? Since he makes the rules, he runs the place, he empowers everything, he gives the life force to the body, he is the intelligence, he is the mind, he is the senses. So you kind of can take it as authority. When he says it, that's the way it is. Right? This is the essence of the argument. Right? So that's the essential point. They can be delivered by this process. As rogues, they can't. But by being respectful to the Vaishnavas, then that's how they can be elevated. So now they're not being respectful. So they can't move forward.
Imagine that if we compare Chagai and Madai, they were more fallen, but they took the mercy.
That's the point, they took advantage. That's the power of the name. But you have to take it. You have to do it yourself. You know, it's just like if I give you some prasad, you have to eat it. Does that make sense? So the opportunity is there, and anybody takes it, it works. And so therefore, Jagai Mata is the example. You know, no one is as sinful as them. But they take the process, it works. So, you know, when we say, you know, when devotees saying, oh, I'm the most fallen Srila Prabhupada, say, you're not the most fallen anything. It's Jagai Mata, they're the most fallen, literally. And then they take the process, it works. So it's just a matter of having that faith and then taking that. So here they respect the thing, so that'll start. That'll purify the heart. So by respecting that, the heart will become purified. But it's through faith that you actually develop prema. Does that make sense? Because they get purified by the service to Vaishnavas. That's going to then therefore give the result, and that will move them forward to prema. Right? So, yeah.
In Prabhupada, when he's going to U.S. in Jaladutta prayers, he's praying this, that second chapter of Bhagavatam, first canto, Tadara Jastamo Bhava.
Yes, yes.
So their hearts are affected by passion and ignorance and material desires. Only by hearing, regular hearing and devotional service can purify their hearts. So
yes.
Quoting all those verses.
Yeah, only by regular devotional service. Yeah. Well, that's that run of verses by regular devotion. The heart, heart becomes, you know, the what do you call it? The impurities become reduced down to almost nil. That's that one, that group.
Yeah, almost completely destroyed. Right?
Yes, and then by regular hearing Bhagavatam and that, and then after that, okay, that's nice. Okay. So, here it is. So, this is the process of Sri Chaitanya's cult. So, it always works. As we have to remember, is that Krishna's instructions always work. He spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago. It works today.
Yes.
It's not that, you know, how you say the Western culture is so powerful that whatever it does, it negates the laws of nature and stuff like that. No, it doesn't work like that.
It's interesting, those verses where Krishna really emphasizes this is the point, he'll say, this is my opinion.
Yes.
Usually we're used to like, well, that's just your opinion. When it's Krishna saying, it's like,
this
no,
is my opinion.
This is the
okay.
actual reality.
You want opinions?
Yeah.
Here
yeah,
it is. Okay. The definitive opinion. Yeah, so we always have to avoid that because that's one of the arguments that'll be used. If they can't explain something philosophically or culturally, but they don't like it, then they'll just say, oh, you can't do that now. And it's just the standard, you know, how do you say, you know, textbook out of the box, you know, kind of thing. You know, it doesn't take any, how you say, in America you say a no-brainer. You know, it doesn't acquire any intelligence like that. And it's not a manifestation of intelligence either to use it, so.
Usually I just say, no, you can't do it.
Yeah, that's the point. And then what do they do?
They change the topic.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Sputter a bit. And yeah. Like that. After coming to this firm conclusion, the Lord continued to stay at home. Right. So he's discussed this and decided this is the way it is. So now he's going to do something about this. The Lord continued to stay at home. In the meantime, Keshava Bharati came to the town of Nadia. The Lord offered him respectful obeisances and invited him to his house. After feeding him sumptuously, he submitted to him his petition. Srila Prabhupada, according to the system of Vedic society, whenever an unknown sannyasi comes to a village or town, someone must invite him to take prasad in his home. Sannyasis generally take prasad in the house of a Brahmin because the Brahmin worships Lord Narayan Shila or Shaligram Shila, and therefore there is prasadam that the sannyasi may take. Keshava Bharati accepted the invitation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus the Lord had a good opportunity to explain his desire to take sannyas from him. Right? So the point is the Brahmins, you know, or the Vaishnavas, means they're going to be worshipping the Lord. So they're going to offer whatever they cook to the Lord. And that's food fit for sannyasis, right? Because humans should always be taking, you know, what is from coming from yajna, yajna shishta. Right, so then, you know, that will be the appropriate thing. Others may or may not follow, but the sannyasi should always follow. And so then that makes it there. You know, it's like a, yeah. Sorry? No, you wouldn't want to stay at their house like that. Like that, yeah, definitely.
I was trying to figure out what you said.
Yeah, it's the same principle, right? You know, it's just the vowels shift, and so therefore you can't understand what it is.
Like, why would you go to a marionette?
Yeah, okay. What is it? Okay. Keshava Bharati accepted the invitation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, the Lord had a good opportunity to explain his desire to take sannyas from him. 117, 270, 272. Lord Chaitanya said, "Sir, you are directly Narayana. Therefore, please be merciful unto me. Deliver me from this material bondage." Keshava Bharati replied to the Lord, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul. I must do whatever you cause me to do. I am not independent of you." After saying this, Keshava Bharati, the spiritual master, went back to his village, Katwa. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there and accepted the renounced order of life, sannyas. Srila Prabhupada, at the end of his 24th year, at the end of the fortnight of the waxing moon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip and crossed the river Ganges at a place known as Nidayara Ghata. Then he reached Kantaka Nagara, or Katoya, Katwa. Because the things that if you go back, you have Sarubhasya, which is more Sanskrit. And I don't know if people still use it so much in Bengal, but before it was very common. It was known that the gentleman could speak and all that. So it would be you know, very high class Bengali. It would be basically Sanskrit, just using the simplified grammar so that's why you see sometimes these words there, Kotoya, and it becomes Katwa locally. Where he accepted Ekadanda Sannyas according to the Shankarite system. Since Keshava Bharati belonged to this Shankarite sect, he could not initiate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the Vaishnava Sannyas order, whose member carried the tree danda. Right? So he only was initiated in Ekadanda, that's all he could do. Right? But you see, he's a devotee, but that's where, you know, if there weren't Vaishnava Sannyas, he took sannyas from a Shankarite. And then then being in the sannyas order, then he would preach Vaishnava philosophy. Chandrasekhar Acharya assisted in the routine ceremonial work of the Lord's acceptance of sannyas. By the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, kirtan was performed for the entire day, and at the end of the day, the Lord shaved off his hair. On the next day, he became a regular sannyasi with one rod, ekadanda. Right, so regular sannyasi, so that's just, it means ordinary, like that. Vaishnava sannyas, that's the special. From that day on, his name was Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Before that, he was known as Nimai Pandit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the sannyas order, traveled all over Radhadesh, the region where the Ganges River cannot be seen. Keshava Bharati accompanied him for some distance. So it comes up or it was explained before that Krishna Chaitanya, that would be the brahmachari name for this Bharati sannyas line, right? And so he just kept the brahmachari name. He didn't accept the Bharati name. Does that make sense? Yeah. Just like Sarup Damodar. Sarup Damodar, that's the brahmachari name in that line. I think that's in the Puri line or something. So it's a different line, but it's in that. So he accepted that because he also from Varanasi took sannyas. But he kept the brahmachari name and he didn't wear the saffron color. Right? Well, Lord Chaitanya accepted the saffron color, but not the name. Yes.
God obviously can do whatever he wants. But is there some implication because it's not recommended or even allowed to take a Kapanda sannyas in Kaliyuga?
The point is it's the philosophy that's a problem.
Yeah.
That sannyas is not the problem. It's the philosophy. So then the Vaishnav sannyas is fine. It's just that if you don't have Vaishnav sannyasis around, then how does it come up? How does it start like that? You know, otherwise you'd have to go to south and take from, you know, basically from a Sri Vaishnav.
Yeah.
Right? Because in our line, the Madhvas, they're Ekadandis. Somehow or another, how it's come in, it's a... Because I think it's Guru, was it? Goshtipurna, something like that.
No, it's from the Sri Sampradaya.
It's from the Sri Sampradaya. So who's Madhvacharyas? Whatever it is. So they're Vaishnavs, but they just have a single danda. But they put a little prash on it. Like that. So it has a flag on it. Not as big as the Ramanujas put. It's a small one.
Who is it who says that the living entity is fixed in the mode?
That's the Tattvavadis. So you have souls and goodness, souls and passion, souls. They're thinking that's the inherent nature of the soul. We'll say they're covered by these things, but they'll say no, they're actually in these modes. That souls have been produced from passion, but that doesn't make any sense since the souls are spirit, and there is no goodness, passion, and ignorance. It's just a weird philosophy. So how that started, no idea.
Probably someone got fried not being successful preaching.
Yeah, because then if it's not successful preaching, those souls in the mode of goodness, they're the ones that come forward, and so therefore without preaching they'll come forward anyway, so therefore you don't have to preach, and hari bol. Yeah. Sorry?
If they're not preaching, what are they doing?
Puja. Like that. You know, they do some programs and that, but they generally don't go outside of their own group. Like that. You know, they have all their programs, they do it in, what's that language?
Kannada.
No.
Tulu.
They speak Tulu. And that's, they preach in like this and that. So only Pejwar would go outside. But he liked this gone. And so then the Swami from there, I think his name, Vishweshwara Tirtha. Yes. So he would, doing like us, he got a van and put, you know, some, you know, things on the side of the van and took some brahmacharis and went out and like that. He did things. But only their line. Everybody else just sits in their mud and just, you know, preaches amongst themselves. Like that.
So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received sannyas, so his name became Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Yes, he just accepted the brahmachari name because he would do service to the sannyasi, so then he would be that would be his brahmachari name. Right? And then after being the brahmachari, then he'd take sannyas after training.
Yes.
But here he just directly took sannyas.
Yes.
And so but he only used the brahmachari name. Does that make sense? We don't have that system. Yes. We just have our this. But they would have, the brahmacharis have this name, and then the sannyasis will have that name.
Yes.
So they have, there's like, as I mentioned, there was 10 names,
yes.
And then the different schools, and each one uses from amongst certain names. Like that.
So that'll all come up in Madhulila chapter 5, I think.
Oh, with Sarvabhauma?
Yes.
Okay. So then it'll all be explained there. 117, 273 to 274. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, three personalities were with him to perform all the necessary activities. They were Nityananda Prabhu, Chandrasekhar Acharya, and Mukunda Dutta. Thus, I have summarized the incidents of the Adi Lila. This Mukunda Dutta is the same as Mukunda, who is the whole thing with the, what do you call it? That whole pastime about him becoming his student. Remember? That was that thing, is that he was collecting students, and they said, you should be my student. And he didn't want to be, so somehow or another he defeated him and all that, then he accepted it. Thus I have summarized the incidents of the Adi Lila. Srila Vishwanath Das Thakur, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, has described them elaborately in his Chaitanya Bhagavat.
This is the same Mukunda that Lord Chaitanya said that he will not see him in many.
Yes, it seems to be it's all the same. Like that. So we see he's quite a prominent devotee. Verses 275 to 2. Yeah. Just trying to get it the other way. 275 to 312. Okay. Lord Chaitanya as Brajendra Nandana. 117, 275. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead who appeared as the son of Mother Jashoda has now appeared as the son of Mother Sachi, relishing four kinds of devotional activities. Srila Prabhupada. Servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the basis of the four kinds of devotional activities. In Shanta, the marginal state of devotional service, there is no activity. But above the Shanta humor are servitude, friendship, parental affection, conjugal love, which represent the gradual growth of devotional service to higher and higher platforms. So here it says, the Shanta is the marginal state, because it's within the spiritual, but it's just on the edge where there isn't any activity. It doesn't require activity. It's just a matter of that appreciation of the Lord, and that's what they're fixed in. 117, 276 to 288. To taste the mellows of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs in her relationship with Krishna, and to understand the reservoir of pleasure in Krishna. Krishna himself, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted the mood of Radharani. It means this, to taste the mellows of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs in her relationship with Krishna, and to understand the reservoir of pleasure in Krishna, right? So it's mentioned three things. So a very nice way, in one sentence, Prabhupada said the three reasons why Lord Chaitanya has come. Right? So he sees it'll be mentioned, you know, over and over again. But it'll be how it's phrased and all that will have some slight differences. Krishna himself, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepted the mood of Radharani. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the mood of the gopis, who accept Vrajendra Nandana, Sri Krishna, as their lover. It is firmly concluded that the ecstatic mood of the gopis is possible only for Krishna, and no one else. He has a bluish complexion, a peacock feather on his head, a gunjamala, and the decorations of a cowherd boy. His body is curved in three places, and he holds a flute to his mouth. If Lord Krishna gives up this original form and assumes another Vishnu form, nearness to him cannot evoke the ecstatic mood of the gopis. Quote, once Lord Sri Krishna playfully manifested himself as Narayana, with four victorious hands and a very beautiful form. When the gopis saw this exalted form, however, their ecstatic feelings were crippled. Even a learned scholar, therefore, cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly fixed upon the original form of Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Right, because Narayan means that you're dealing with the aspect of he's the absolute truth. He is the Lord of his energies. And then it's about that aspect and how he controls the energies, how he deals and all that. So with knowledge, one can understand these things. But it will not invoke the mood of the gopis. Right? Means we know this, but we take it back to Krishna, that he is the one who expands and does all these aspects. So it's Krishna, Braja Krishna, he can invoke these. That doesn't mean you avoid Narayana, you just know that Narayana is coming from Krishna. He is Krishna, just in that form. But in that form, as we see Krishna takes that form, it doesn't invoke these moods. But it doesn't, does that make sense? Yeah. Even a learned scholar, therefore, cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly fixed upon the original form of Lord Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. The wonderful feelings of the gopis in ecstatic Paramarasa with Krishna constitute the greatest mystery in spiritual life. Footnote 11. This is a quotation from the Lalita Madhava, 654, by Srila Rupa Goswami. During the season of springtime, when the rasa dance was going on, suddenly Krishna disappeared from the scene, indicating he wanted to be alone with Srimati Radharani. Krishna was sitting in a solitary bush, waiting for Srimati Radharani to pass. But while he was searching, the gopis arrived there, like a phalanx of soldiers. Just see, the gopis said, seeing Krishna from a distance. Here, within a bush, is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. As soon as Krishna saw all the gopis, he was struck with emotion. Thus he could not hide himself, and out of fear he became motionless. Right? Because it mentions before, from fear that he can get, one of the effects is motionlessness. Another is you might do some other aspects than that, but this is one of them. So he saw them and out of fear, because he's hiding from them to be with Radharani, and now they've come and found him. Right? So then out of fear he's become motionless. Right? Krishna assumed his forearm Narayan form and sat there. Right? So then they see Krishna because there's that same color in that. But when they get close, right? When all the gopis came, they looked at him and spoke as follows. He is not Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Right? After saying this, they offered obeisances and the following respectful prayers. O Lord Narayana, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Kindly be merciful unto us. Give us the association of Krishna and thus vanquish our lamentation. Srila Prabhupada. The gopis were not made happy even by seeing the forearm form of Narayana. Yet they offered their respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and begged from him the benediction of achieving the association of Krishna. Such is the ecstatic feelings of the gopis. 117-289-294. After saying this and offering obeisances, all the gopis dispersed. Then Srimati Radharani came and appeared before Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna saw Radharani, he wanted to maintain the forearm form to joke with her. In front of Srimati Radharani, Sri Krishna had to hide the two extra arms. He tried his best to keep forearms before him, but he was completely unable to do so. The influence of Radharani's pure ecstasy is so inconceivably great that it forced Krishna to come to his original two-armed form. Quote, prior to the rasa dance, Lord Krishna hid himself in a grove just to have fun. When the gopis came, their eyes resembling those of deer. By his sharp intelligence, he exhibited his beautiful four-armed form to hide himself. But when Srimati Radharani came there, Krishna could not maintain his four arms in their presence. This is the wonderful glory of her love. Footnote 12. This is a quotation from the Ujjwala Nilamani, Naika Beda 7, by Rupa Goswami. Father Nanda, the king of Brajabhumi, is now Jagannath Mishra, the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mother Jashoda, the queen of Brajabhumi, is now Sachi Devi, Lord Chaitanya's mother. 117-295-301. The former son of Nanda Maharaj is now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the former Baladev, Krishna's brother, is now Nityananda Prabhu, the brother of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Nityananda Prabhu always feels the ecstatic motions of paternity, servitude, and friendship. Right? So all these three moods is what he has. So it means you have the friendship, but he has that point that he's the elder brother, so he takes care as a senior. at the same time as he's always serving the desire of Krishna. And so he's making arrangements with that. His energies are then taking that. So in that way he has that servitude. He always assists Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that way. Sri Nityananda Prabhu overflooded the entire world by distributing transcendental loving service. No one can understand his character and activities. Srila Advaitacharya Prabhu appeared as an incarnation of a devotee. He is in the category of Krishna, but he descended to this earth to propagate devotional service. His natural emotions were always on the platform of fraternity and servitude. But the Lord sometimes treated him as a spiritual master. So even though he was in friendship and servitude, but Lord Chaitanya would treat him in that aspect of parental. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Srivas Thakur, have their own emotional humors in which they render service unto him. Personal associates like Garadhara, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, and the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami, are all situated in their respective transcendental humors. Thus the Lord submits to various positions and various transcendental mellows. Srila Prabhupada. In verses 296 to 301, the emotional devoted service of Sri Nityananda, Sri Advaita Prabhu, and others has been fully described. Describing such individual service, the Gauranudesh Deepika 11 through 16 declares that although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as a devotee, he is none other than the son of Nanda Maharaj. Similarly, although Sri Nityananda Prabhu appeared as Lord Chaitanya's assistant, he is none other than Baladev, the carrier of the plow. Dvaitacharya is the incarnation of Sadashiva from the spiritual world. All the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur are his marginal energy, whereas the devotees headed by Garadhar Pandit are manifestations of his internal potency. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu all belong to the Vishnu Tattva category. Because Lord Chaitanya is an ocean of mercy, he is addressed as Mahaprabhu, whereas Nityananda and Advaita, being two great personalities who assist Lord Chaitanya, are addressed as Prabhu. Thus, there are two Prabhus and one Mahaprabhu. Garadhar Goswami is a representative of a perfect Brahmana spiritual master. Srivas Thakur represents a perfect Brahmana devotee. These five are known as the Pancha Tattva. 117, 302-304. In Krishna Lila, the Lord's complexion is blackish. Holding a flute to his mouth, he enjoys as a cowherd boy. Now the selfsame person has appeared with fair complexion, sometimes acting as a brahmana, and sometimes accepting the renounced order of life. Therefore the Lord himself, accepting the emotional ecstasy of the gopis, now addresses the son of Nanda Maharaj. So this thing, so sometimes acting as a Brahmin, sometimes accepting the renounced order. So then we see is that the point of, even though the position is sannyas is part of the progression of the Brahmana, when you call someone a Brahmana, generally means they're performing those duties. You know, so they're doing the pujas, they're doing these kind of different acts, but like that, that's then how you would refer, even though all four ashrams are connected with the Brahminical culture. Therefore, the Lord himself, accepting the emotional ecstasy of the gopis, now addresses the son of Nanda Maharaj. O master of my life, O my dear husband, he is Krishna, yet he has accepted the mood of the gopis. How is it so? It is the inconceivable character of the Lord, which is very difficult to understand. So is that here, is that... He's saying that, oh, master of life, oh, my dear husband, because that's the mood, that's the attitude, but they're not the wife. So that's the point, is parakia. He's not the husband. But the attitude is that, the exchange is that. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's accepting the part of the gopis is certainly contradictory according to any mundane calculations. But the Lord, by his inconceivable character, may act like the gopis and feel separation from Krishna, although he is Krishna himself. Since such a contradiction can be reconciled only in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he has energy that is inconceivable, achintya, which can make possible that which is impossible to do. Agata Ghatana Prati Yasi. Such contradictions are very difficult to understand unless a devotee strictly follows the Vaishnava philosophy under the direction of the Goswamis, right? So if one is saying that, oh, all these things are, you know, you can't do these now, these are archaic, yeah, maybe before you could, but nowadays things are different, then according to what's said here, you can't understand them. And then by not understanding them, then more to you, that means, oh, it doesn't apply, therefore it just gets worse and worse. Therefore, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami ends every chapter with this verse. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Jara Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Right? So that's what it's mentioned by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you can get Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, then you can be freed from material entanglement, you know, material desire. So you give up the interest in the material world. So that will then reveal the Dham. But it said that only by following the direction of the Goswamis, that reveals Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Nothing else reveals it. Unfortunately, knowledge, skills, and does not do that. So karma and jnana won't do it. Sorry, but...
yes.
Sorry? Where is the Dvaitacharya? By his grace, you can... you get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. See, is that... A Dvaitacharya being Sadashiv, then he's in charge of the mode of ignorance. So that means if you want to give up the idea I'm the controller and enjoyer, then by his grace that can be there. Then getting Lord Nityananda's mercy, then you have no interest in the mundane. Right? So it goes together. In a song by Narottam Das Thakur, it is stated, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Haibe Akuti Kabe Hama Bhujabo Se Jugula Piriti. The conjugal love between Radha and Krishna, which is called Jugula Piriti, is not understandable by mundane scholars, artists, or poets. It is simply to be understood by devotees who strictly follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Right, so if we're making up our own systems, we're all accepting part of what they give, not part of what we give, then that will be, our understanding will be partial. Yeah. It is simply be understood by devotees who strictly follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. That means, you know, at the best you can, that's what you're trying to do. Sometimes so-called artists and poets try to understand the love affairs of Radha and Krishna, and they publish cheap books of poetry and pictures on the subject. Unfortunately, however, they do not understand the transcendental affairs of Radha and Krishna, even to the smallest degree. They are simply meddling in a matter in which they are not fit even to enter. Right? So they're not even fit to enter it, let alone understand it. So that's the whole point, is that in the material world, because it's based on the secondary forms, then having qualification in knowledge and skills in these forms, these secondary forms, that then is our qualification to enter into that and supposedly understand it. But the transcendental world has nothing to do with the secondary forms. Right? It's about Krishna and his transcendental qualities and his relationship with his devotees. So it's based on devotion, on bhakti. So no material qualification, no matter what it is, can give one entrance into the pastimes of the Lord. just nothing. It's not that, oh, he's intelligent, so he has a better chance. No. It's a matter of one who has faith, one who follows the Goswamis. They'll be able to appreciate it. Right? So you see, Srila Prabhupada is giving here the acharyas, and they're talking about this proper understanding and all these things. That's what they go through. So this whole idea, oh, that's all gyan, and so we don't need it, but they'll use mundane gyan. This is all backwards. It's all backwards. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not even like the, like I mentioned, the poster of the guy in New York. At least, you know. There's a guy, poster I saw in New York. There's a guy standing there, no clothes on, nothing. Right? You know, and so you see his face, you see his chest, but then when you get down, you see his bum is in the front. Right? And so then the caption is, well, at least my head's on straight.
Yeah, that's New York.
Yeah, that's New York.
Was it about it?
Huh?
Was it about?
Because in English you have a saying when something's completely upside, you know, upside down.
What they were promoting. That's
what it's just a goof. You know, you understand the yeah. point of means his head's on straight means this for it, but his bum is not. Because there's a saying, if you ass backwards, it just means it's upside down, it's wrong. So all these, you know, as you mentioned here, the logicians, the artists, all these poets, you know, these karmis, it's ass backwards. That's why they cannot understand it. So I'm saying this guy at least was at a little bit better state because his head was on straight. But these guys, nothing's going for them. So that's why we have to have faith in devotional service. That's what works. Other things will not work. Try as you like. They work in the material platform, but they'll keep you here. The spiritual platform is different in that it's based on Krishna. That's the whole thing. It's based on Krishna. So if it's not based on Krishna, it won't get you to Krishna. So the Goswamis, they explain everything based on Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada gives us that entrance into that understanding. He shows us how to apply that. Make sense? So then that's how it works. Yes?
So being followers of Rupa Raghunath, we follow Rupa Goswami by studying Bhakti Rasamrita Simha. But which book do we study Raghunath? What is our main
body? That for him, it's that example of his full surrender and his full absorption. You know, his stableness, his steadiness. You know, he's famous for his sadhana. His devotion is like lines on a stone. They're fixed. They're not going anywhere. You know, so that's the main point. It's a mood there, just like Prabhupada is saying in the six Goswamis. We're following the six Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami, but we're following it according to the path chalked out by Jiva Goswami. Like that. So that's important. So how Jiva Goswami gives us that understanding, that's how then we're approaching. Like you see, is before we've read these things in Nectar of Devotion, and that the technical points, and you know, it's nice and it's good, but to be able to understand technically how they're working, it's only come about because we've been studying Jiva Goswami's works. Right? By understanding that and that, then we're starting to see. And then the fun part is, you see, Prabhupada's been talking about that all the time. So it's only because we've been hearing it from Prabhupada, now when we get it, we start to put together. So in other words, by the mercy of the Goswamis, you can understand Radha and Krishna. So that means headed by Rupa, his mood, and the path chalked out by Jiva Goswami. That's how then we'll understand the Goswamis. And we'll understand them by Prabhupada's teachings. Because as the founder Acharya, that's how we're going to understand. So if anybody goes other places, does other things, has other ideas, it won't work for them. So, yeah. Because you see, as so many great personalities, then, you know, it doesn't matter what line they're in, they're able to appreciate this. Like Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya. Big Brahmin in the Sri line. Like that. Very respected and all that. And then he was invited to do the Hyderabad opening. No, when Srila Prabhupada was here. Like that. Because the deities have been there in Hyderabad since that time. Radha Madan Mohan. Very big. Very big deities. And so then he came and he was doing the, they were chanting the mantras, you know, the one where you say, Adya Brahmana, Dvitiya Paradhe, and you're coming down and Vaibhasvata Manvantare. You're going down, you're starting from the life of, the second half of the life of Brahma in this kalpa, in the Vaibhasvata Manu, in the 28th, like this, within that, the Kali Yuga, within this, then, you know, we're talking, you bring it right down to the time. And them going through all this and saying that as the Sankalpa, then Prabhupada told to, told Prajumna, these are Brahmins.
Because they do that and others they don't?
Means that's the, it means Brahmins know that. Like Manu says, one who knows time from Animisha up to Brahma, they know time. So Prabhupada is saying, these guys know what they're doing. They're Brahmins. Like that. You know, because Prajumna was always, you know, dealing in this, and Prabhupada's pointing out this is the standard. Like that. And so then he also came for the Vrindavan opening. I think the locals did the opening, because the local Brahmins, unless they do it, then you're just not bona fide, right? Because unless the caste Goswamis do it, then. So then he was mentioning, he visiting Prabhupada. I think it was, no, it was later, it was not at the opening, it was later. He came and visited Prabhupada in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was sick. And he mentioned to him about, you know, because you've installed a deity of yourself. And he said, the only other person who's ever done that is Ramanujacharya. You know? And he said that it's a problem. It will be a problem for your health. Because just by seeing your deity and offering respects, you take the reactions of whoever's doing that. Like that. And you know, Prabhupada basically just pointed out he knows. So, that makes sense. So they're able to recognize his position.
Prabhupada did what? He mentioned there would be a problem for his health. And then he
Sampat Kumar Bhattacharya was saying this.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's, you know, he was said he's a big Sri Vaishnav. He was one of the main pujaris in Tirupati and like that. So he was pointing out when you have a deity of yourself, then the deities, it's different from a picture or this or that. The deity is that you offer respect, that, you know, your reaction, you're purified. So that means, you know, thousands of people in one day can come and offer that respects. So you see in other places, you don't have, they have a little picture for this and that, and no one's offering obeisances to that picture of Prabhupada on the altar. You know, like that in the Parampara, they're offering obeisance to the deities, but here you're offering obeisance to the deity of Prabhupada. So he's pointing out the only other Acharya that's ever done this in history is Ramanuja Acharya. Like that. So he's pointing out that, you know, so, but he could understand, he, you know, he could do this, but he was pointing out if he doesn't have the deity there, his health would be better. Like that. And Prabhupada just says, no, but I've come for this, so. You know, so, yeah. So the point is even others in other lines have caught this. So, you know, one must be clear that you follow what Prabhupada gives, that works. So approaching the acharyas, you have to do it through that mood. You know, that's why when we're saying the Nectar Devotion, we'll look at Prabhupada's translation from that angle. Then we'll try to understand how Rupa Goswami is giving these details. Right, and so earlier we were explaining how it's a different aspect of it. It's the point which causes it, or it's the practical application of it, the mood or the reaction of it. Remember, we were discussing like that. Then today we come up where Rupa Goswami starts explaining that's the way these work. And so Prabhupada's saying that you don't always get the right words in English for it. He would use one that you could understand what's happening, like that. So then. He's already presenting that point that Rupa Goswami is giving. Because Rupa Goswami gives the point. You approach the previous acharyas through your acharya. And so even we're using our acharya, it still has to be in line with what Srila Prabhupada gives. Then with him, then it goes. Does that make sense? It has nothing to do with who his disciples are or not. It's his position as the founder acharya. Founder acharya is something to do with the sampradaya. It's not something to do with the institution called ISKCON. Yes. That is his institution. You know, like Jiva Goswami says, the Vishnu Vaishnava Rajya Sabha. Right? But it's the same thing. But it's the point of, it's for the Sampradaya. You'll only understand what any of the Acharyas are saying by following here. That's just like in the Sri Sampradaya. Unless you follow Ramanuja, you won't understand what the others are saying. You'll get some idea, but it won't be complete. Right? So therefore, since we have to catch the Goswami's favor, you know, by how it's been set out by Jiva Goswami, and that then we see Prabhupada's documented it for us to understand and follow. That's the method. Then one will understand Radha and Krishna. Right? Other methods won't work.
This is a real descending process.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just how the systems work. So each sampradaya has its founder acharya. That's just how it works. So we have, there are six Vedanta darshans. Each one has their founder acharya, and so we have ours. You know, for Govinda Bhasya, then it's Srila Prabhupada. Does that make sense? It's just how it functions.
Of what Prabhupada is saying and what the Acharya is saying. But we have seen in Sandarbhas how, like, in the terms such as Jivamaya, Gunamaya, and today, like, we saw Prabhupada mentions as unmanifested material nature, which is avyakta. Yeah. He may not be using the terms, those technical terms that Acharyas are using, but he knows absolutely everything, so we are able to appreciate Prabhupada more.
Yes. Because the point is it means if you use all the Sanskrit terms, you don't understand it as much as if he uses the English. So that's the whole point. But in English, you have to bring it into that what word carries the mood that's there, you know, the proper understanding. So you see, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would use English very exactly, but that exactness means who can understand it. You know, there's probably very few people or no one alive today that could read his work without looking in a dictionary for some words. Some would know more. You know, but most wouldn't know. Like that. You know, it's kind of like when we sell Brahma Samhita, we should sell the dictionary along with it. Or just have one in the back, you know.
Appendix.
Yeah, an appendix, just your own dictionary thing. Look at that, okay.
For purpose, every word, what word meaning?
Yeah.
English to English.
1:17, 3:05-3:07. One cannot understand the contradictions in Lord Chaitanya's character by putting forward mundane logic and arguments. Consequently, one should not maintain doubts in this connection. Right? So doubts must be cleared. Because you can't, by mundane logic and arguments, understand it. So say, oh, that's not logical. What does that have to do with it? You know? Like that. One should simply try to understand the inconceivable energy of Krishna. Otherwise, one cannot understand how such contradictions are possible. So if you're accepting that God being the source of everything, and so everything that is there may have contradictions in itself, that's the meaning of his position, his authority, then he has that, it's natural that he has inconceivable potencies that can produce all these wide-ranging, and he's able to maintain all that and run that all together. So that makes sense. But to try to say that, no, it has to logically make sense by my intellect, that's foolish.
You cannot understand it with your tiny brain.
No, it won't work because you can't use that aspect. But it's logical that God has inconceivable potencies. That's like he's God. That's the whole point. So it's logical. So if you accept from there, like we said, the descending, then by Krishna's mercy, then you'll understand it. But if you think by the ascending process, I'll use my brain, it won't work. The pastimes of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are inconceivable and wonderful. His ecstasy is wonderful. His qualities are wonderful. And his behavior is wonderful. If one... that's where simply wonderful came from. And then if one simply adheres to mundane arguments and therefore does not accept this, he will boil in the hell of Kumbhipaka. For him, there's no deliverance. Yeah, so it's not so wonderful. Yeah, because Kumbhipaka, it says boil there. So it's like... Srila Prabhupada. Kumbhipaka. A type of hellish condition is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.26.13, wherein it is said is that a person who cooks living birds and beasts to satisfy his tongue is brought before Yamaraj after death and punished in the Kumbhipaka hell. There he is put into boiling oil called Kumbhipaka, from which there is no deliverance. Kumbhipaka is meant for persons who are unnecessarily envious. Those who are envious of the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are punished in that hellish condition. Yeah, because the point is they cook them alive, like that. So it's one of the things, you know, like lobsters, they always cook them alive and things like this. So that, you know, this is their place. But anybody who's that envious and all that, unnecessarily envious, they can also end up in that place, because then envy, you're always trying to destroy others and all that while they're living, right? 117, 308, 312. Anything transcendental to material nature is called inconceivable, whereas arguments are all mundane. Since mundane arguments cannot touch transcendental subject matters, one should not try to understand transcendental subjects through mundane arguments. 13. This verse from the Mahabharata Bhishma Parva 5.22 is also quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.93 by Srila Rupa Goswami. Oh, it's coming up next chapter then. Only a person who has firm faith in the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can approach his feet. So it's not that logic won't be satisfied, but you can't start with logic. You have to start with faith in the Lord. Then you will see the logic to it. But it can be explained according to logical terms. You know, you can make a logical presentation, but it's not logic by how you understand the Lord and his potencies. That's only by faith. So you see the logic is presented how you have that, about this position. So that makes sense. So therefore, with faith, you surrender to the Lord. Then the Lord will reveal. In this discourse, I have explained the essence of the devotional conclusion. Anyone who hears this develops unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. If I repeat what is already written, I may relish the purport of this scripture. We can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam the conduct of its author, Sri Vyasadeva. After speaking the narration, he repeats it again and again. So if we're wondering why these things are said again and again, because it says, if you have this faith, you understand this, you have faith, then you'll develop love for Krishna. Right? Srila Prabhupada. At the end of Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto, the 12th chapter contains 43 verses in which Sri Krishna Dwaipayana Veda Vyasa recapitulates Sri Mad Bhagavatam's entire subject matter. Sri Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami wants to follow in the footsteps of Sri Vyasadeva by recapitulating the 17 chapters of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita's Adi Leela. Okay. Verses 313 to 336, summary of Adi Leela. Oh, so this is where the summaries before all come from here.
Yeah, the first line, okay. And then the chapter summary is after.
That's far up. No, this is Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. Like you saw in when we were having a chapter, it would be the summary of the chapter, right? And so the first sentence that was there, that was from here. And then the next section, that was Prabhupada quoting from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, from Bhakti Vinod Thakur, like that.
Oh. So this is his summary of the Leela.
This is his summary, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. Therefore, I shall enumerate the chapters of the Adi Leela. In the first chapter, I offer obeisances to the spiritual master. One offer obeisances. Yeah. I offer obeisance to the spiritual master, for this is the beginning of auspicious writing. Right, so offering obeisance to the spiritual master, that's how it starts, right? The second chapter explains the truth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, has now appeared as the son of Mother Sachi. The third chapter describes the general cause of his appearance. The third chapter specifically describes the distribution of love of Godhead. It also describes the religion of the age, which is simply to distribute the holy name of Lord Krishna and propagate the process of loving him. The fourth chapter describes the main reason for his appearance, which is to taste the mellows of his own transcendental loving service and his own sweetness. Right? So even though it's said here, it's that the mellows, that's the one, you know, his own loving service and then his sweetness. Like that. The fifth chapter describes the truth of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is none other than Balaram, the son of Rohini. The sixth chapter considers the truth of Advaitacharya. He is an incarnation of Mahavishnu. The seventh chapter describes the Panchatattva, Sri Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Garadhara, and Srivas. They all combine together to distribute love of Godhead everywhere. The eighth chapter gives the reason for describing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. It also describes the greatness of Lord Krishna's holy name. The ninth chapter describes the desire tree of devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the gardener who planted it. The tenth chapter describes the branches and sub-branches of the main trunk and the distribution of their fruits. The 11th chapter describes the branch called Nityananda Prabhu. The 12th chapter describes the branch called Sri Advaita Prabhu. The 13th chapter describes birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which took place with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. The 14th chapter gives some description of the Lord's childhood pastimes. The 15th briefly describes the Lord's boyhood pastimes. In the 16th chapter, I have indicated the pastimes of the Kishore age, the age prior to youth. In the 17th chapter, I have specifically described his youthful pastimes. Like his Kishore is before youth, means it's up to 16. At 16, then after that, then that is the youth. So then that's next. In the 17th chapter, I have specifically described his youthful pastimes. That's what he sees after that, from 16 to 24, where he took sannyas. Right? Thus, there are 17 varieties of subjects in the first canto, which is known as the Adilila. 12 of these constitute the preface of this scripture. After the chapters of the preface, I have described 5 transcendental mellows in 5 chapters. I have described them very briefly rather than expansively. By the order and strength of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has elaborately described in his Chaitanya Mangal all that I have not. The pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are wonderful and unlimited. Even personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Seshanaga cannot find their end. Anyone who describes or hears any part of this elaborate subject will very soon receive the causeless mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Herein, the author again describes the Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Garadhar Srivas, and all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, I offer my respectful obeisances to all the residents of Vrindavan. I wish to place their lotus feet on my head in great humbleness. I wish to place the lotus feet of the Goswamis on my head. Their names are Sri Surup Damodar, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, and Sri Jiva Goswami. Placing their lotus feet on my head, always hoping to serve them, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Okay. Then, in his chapter summaries of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda chapters 9 and 17, and Madhyakanda chapters 1 through 28, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, oh, okay, so that's the end. So now this is going to be, this whole thing is now his summary of that.
Summaries of 16 to 24, that age.
Oh, just 16 to 24. Yeah. Just as is the youthful age.
Yeah, just for that 17th chapter.
Oh, wow. Okay. Serious. Okay. In his childhood pastimes, Srimad Nityananda Prabhu and his associate, childhood friends, remain engaged in imitating various pastimes of Lord Krishna. Sometimes he and his friends would form the assembly of the demigods, and some dressed as Mother Earth, burdened by the atrocities of the demons, would come before that assembly and offer prayers. At that time, Srimad Nityananda Prabhu and the boys who were part of that assembly would go to the bank of a river and pray to Lord Kiridakshai. Thereafter, a boy acting as Kiridakshai would announce from a hidden place, "I will soon appear in Mathura Gokula in order to diminish the burden of the earth." At other times, they imitated the various Dwapara pastimes of Krishna, like the marriage of Vasudev and Devaki, the birth of Krishna in the prison cell, Vasudev's taking Krishna to the house of Nanda, Vasudev's return with Mahamaya, the daughter of Jashoda, the killing of Putana, the breaking of Shataka, Krishna stealing butter and milk from the house of cowherds, the killing of Denaka, Aga, and Bakasura, tending the cows, lifting Govardhana, stealing the gopis' clothes, Krishna's bestowing mercy on the wives of the sacrificial Brahmins, Narada's giving advice to Kamsa in a secluded place, and the killing of the elephant Kuvalaya, the wrestlers Chanura and Mustika and Kamsa. Sometimes in the form of Vamana, he deceived Bali. Sometimes while enacting the pastimes of Ram, he would gather his friends to form an army of monkey soldiers and build a bridge. He would personally play the role of Lakshmana and approach Sugriva with bow and arrows in his hands. In the form of Ramha, he would diminish the pride of Parasuram. And while enacting the killing of Indrajit, he would fall unconscious in the mood of Lakshmana, having been hit by Indrajit's powerful arrow, until Hanuman brought medicine under his previous directions and revived him. In this way, he exhibited pastimes of the various incarnations of the Lord. Yes.
When it is these pastimes are exhibited, it's only I can say boy or man.
Yeah, these were just the boys in their play. Yeah. You know, they're outside and all that, and they decide what lila they want to perform, and then they all start taking the different parts and going through it and everything like that. So it's just something on the spot, and immediately they just do. So it's not that they're rehearsing or anything like that. It's just, you know, who's the king, who's Bali, who's this, who's that. And yeah, it's just that spontaneous. Yeah. In this way, Srimad Nityananda Prabhu engaged in enacting various pastimes up to the age of 12. Thereafter, on the pretext of purifying himself, he traveled to the holy places of Aryavarta and Dakshinatya up to the age of 20. So Dakshinatya must mean what's south of the Vindhya Mountains. And then Aryavarta will be what's above them and below the what do you call it? The Himalaya. What, you know, along the Ganga. So, yeah. So basically it means north and south India. He then came to Navadvipa and met his own lord, Sri Gaurasundara. In the course of visiting the holy places, Nityananda Prabhu met Srimad Madhavendra Puri, Sripad Ishwara Puri, and Srila Brahmananda Puri. In this way, Srimad Nityananda Prabhu passed a few days discussing topics of Krishna with Srimad Madhavendra Puri, who was accompanied by his disciples. Thereafter, he proceeded to Setabandha, Danush Tirtha, Mayapuri, Avanti, Godavari, Vyada Nishinga, Devapuri, Trimala, Kurmakshetra, and many other holy places before arriving in Nilachal. At Nilachal, he saw Sri Jagannath Dev, the source of the Chaturvyuha, and became overwhelmed in ecstasy. From Sri Kshetra, he returned to Sri Mathura. During the time when Sri during the time when Sri Gaurasundara was enjoying his pastimes in Navadvip, as the as the crest jewel of teachers, the philosophies of the atheists and the smartas were being quickly propagated. Even hearing the name of Bhakti Yoga was rare. The sinful people went on unnecessarily criticizing the Vaishnavas. So we see the Lord's there, and he's, you know, starting his pastimes, and just there, because of his presence, everything's enlivened. So you're going to get the devotional service developing, but you're also getting all these others developing. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, before him, they were just sahajis. No one took them very seriously. So no one was, in this way, no one was Vaishnava, but they weren't sahajis either. So then, when he established, then Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the people didn't take it seriously because they just thought it's a bunch of beggars. And they're all sahajis, and it's, they don't know philosophy, anything. But when he established the proper philosophy and everything like that, and the gentleman, Bengal took it up and took it very seriously, then we saw as then the Gaudiya line gets some respect, and then all these, you know, caste Goswamis and others and sahajis take advantage of that and then start preaching their thing, and then, you know, so many become deviated by that. So you're going to see is whenever the preaching is going nice, these other things come up also. So, you know, we may grumble about Upasampradayas, you know, that yes, they but if they're coming up, means the preaching is going on. But you just have to avoid them, that's all. Know the difference, avoid. During the time when... Even hearing the name of Bhakti Yoga is rare. The sinful people went on unnecessarily criticizing the Vaishnavas. Considering that the proper time had arrived to manifest themselves, Sri Gaurasundara enacted the pastimes of going to Gaya for performing worldly fruitive rituals in order to refute the atheistic and smarta philosophies, as well as to bewilder adverse persons. In order to bewilder the atheists, the Lord displayed the pastime of being attacked with fever on his way to Gaya. Thereafter, to exhibit his affection towards his servants and the potency of water that has washed the feet of qualified Brahmins, he drank water and washed the feet of a Brahmin and ended his pastime of having fever. On reaching Punpun, the Lord performed his pastime of worshipping the forefathers and then entered Gaya. Actually, it's Gaya. He took bath at Brahmakunda, and after displaying the pastimes of duly respecting his father at that place, he came to Chakraveda and manifested a pastime of seeing the lotus feet of Garadhara, or Lord Vishnu. After hearing the glories of the lotus feet of Garadhara form from the resident Brahmins, the Lord became decorated with pure ecstatic transformations, and thus inaugurated his pastimes of manifesting loving devotional service. Right before that, it was proper knowledge about God and this and that, but they were engaged in their very brahminical activities, their knowledge, their grammar, and all these things. But as you see there, it was things had to be appropriate with proper philosophy, like that. You know, so he wasn't establishing these pastimes of loving devotional service, just the proper things, what you're supposed to do and everything like that. By providence, the Lord met Ishwara Puri there. Sri Mahaprabhu revealed to Sri Ishwara Puri that the perfection of visiting Gaya is to meet pure devotees like Ishwara Puri. That seeing Vaishnavas is matchlessly greater than worshipping and offering oblations to the forefathers at Gaya, and that his purpose of traveling to Gaya was to permanently surrender at the lotus feet of a Mahabhagavat spiritual master. So that's why he went there. Without disturbing the foolish, ill-motivated fruit of workers who are bewildered by the three modes of material nature, to teach that until one receives initiation into Krishna mantras from a bona fide spiritual master, he is eligible only for performing fruitive activities and to simultaneously bewilder the atheists. So he's only good for that. He's teaching that and to simultaneously bewilder the atheists. So these two points. Sri Gaurasundara exhibited the pastimes of offering various oblations to the forefathers. at Gaya, according to worldly customs.
Just to point out the context here, back at earlier in the chapter, which was maybe a month ago that we were reading, the time when Srivas and those, the ones that were going to Advaita, started hearing from them, and they were saying, man, if only this, what was he known as then, Nimai, would become a devotee, then everything would be fine.
Okay. Yes,
so, then, so he wasn't actually preaching then, but then when he went to Gaya, he found a spiritual master to show that you need to have a spiritual master.
Mm. And that's why that was the cause for devotional service.
Right.
Mm.
Okay.
Seemed to be termites night out. Okay. Have wings, we'll travel. Right. Thereafter, he returned to his room and began to personally cook. At that time, Shripad Ishwarapuri arrived there, overwhelmed with love of Krishna. The Lord personally served all the foodstuffs he had cooked for himself to Sri Ishwarapuripada, and directly serving his spiritual master, Puripada, with his own hands, he displayed the ideal example of serving the spiritual master. We mentioned cooking, and then... you got hungry.
You want something from the Mahatma?
Okay. And a lot.
Okay. And then you can take a bucket if you want. On another day, in a solitary place, Mahaprabhu offered obeisances to Ishwarapuri and requested him for mantra initiation. Then the Lord received the 10-syllable mantra from his spiritual master and surrendered everything unto his lotus feet. In this way, Sri Gauranarayan Prabhu, the spiritual master of the entire universe, instructed people who are desirous of love of God. Right? Because before this, he was known as Gauranarayana. Because then as Gauranarayan, then he's marrying Vishnu Priya, Lakshmi Priya. You know, he's doing his various brahminical duties. He's doing all these different aspects. Right? Yes.
Do we know that 10-syllable mantra that he received?
Yeah, it's just the end part of the Gopal mantra.
Well, I was trying for years. I can't figure out the 10 syllables. I mean, the numbers doesn't match. I don't know why. Maybe I break the word, you know. Because Gop Kumar chants 10-syllable mantra, and the Mahaprabhu.
Because you don't, it means you could be, you don't count Kambija.
Should I or shouldn't?
You shouldn't for
shouldn't.
This one.
Oh.
No. Then you end up at 12. But Gopal Kumar, he's using the front part.
Right. But it's also 10.
Yeah.
But he's using the.
It's just that you just have to see.
Oh.
Oh, wait.
You count the words or the syllables?
No, syllables.
Yeah, there you count the comma.
Oh.
Bija. Yeah, it's the syllables. When you say, is that, it means he, how you say? What do you say? 10-syllable mantras, the syllables. Okay. You know, because he's in that mood of the coward boy, so he's using just the front part. Because Lord Chaitanya's come to taste that mood of the gopis, he's just taking the last part. But the standard thing is we get all of them because it's Govinda, Gopinath, Madan, Mahan. So it has the Sambandha, Abhide, and Prayoja. It's the complete in itself. The Gopal mantra, yeah. Because it's not a Gayatri.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, in your mantras, you already have it.
Yes.
It's good. You know, like I said, you don't have to go look under a rock or something to find it. You're good. In order to reveal that only a person who has fully surrendered at the lotus feet of a spiritual master and is endowed with transcendental knowledge is qualified to receive loving devotional service as a result of service to the spiritual master. Right. So that's an important aspect. That's why you can't doubt what the founder is saying and this and that and come up with your own opinions, because then the problem is then you won't actually understand Krishna. Things won't be revealed. Right? Mahaprabhu, after receiving initiation from Ishwara Puripada, became overwhelmed with separation from Krishna, loudly cried out, "Krishna, Krishna," and thus exhibited his pastime in becoming most restless. "I will not enter into family life. Rather, I will go to Mathura in search of Krishna, who has stolen my heart." Saying this, the Lord instructed his students, who had accompanied him to Gaya, to return to Navadvipa. Being greatly overwhelmed by separation from Krishna, the Lord departed towards Mathura in the early morning without informing anyone. While addressing Krishna, "O dear Krishna, O dear child, where will I go? Where will I meet Murali Vandana?" After walking a little distance, the Lord heard a voice from the sky saying that the time had not arrived for the Lord to visit Mathura. The Lord should distribute loving devotional service in Navadvipa for some time. Hearing this voice from the sky, Gaurasundara stopped his journey and returned to his residence at Gaya, where he took permission from Shripad Ishwarapuri and then returned to Sri Navadvipa with his students. After returning from Gaya Dham, the Lord began to manifest ecstatic symptoms out of feeling of separation from Krishna. While describing the glories of Gaya, the Lord described topics regarding the holy place to the devotees. This chapter includes descriptions of the meeting of the devotees headed by Shrivas, Shriman, Garadhara, and Sadashiva in the house of Shuklabhara Brahmachari. Their astonishment and crying on seeing the Lord's ecstasy in separation from Krishna. The Lord's visit to the houses of Gangadas Pandit and Mukunda Sanjaya. Mother Sachi's anxiety for her son and her prayers to Krishna on his behalf. The Lord's explanation to his students that the name of Krishna is the only purport of all words and all scriptures. The Lord's taking bath in the Ganges. At the time of eating, the Lord's glorification to his mother that all scriptures are related to Krishna. Right? So his name, all the scriptures, is the purport to all words in the Vedas as Krishna, and that all scriptures are related to Krishna, right? The Lord's description of the godless conditioned soul's pathetic condition within the womb. The Lord's explanation to his students that everything is related to Krishna. The Lord's boasting during his conversation with Gangadas Pandit that his explanations on the scriptures are incomprehensible to logicians. The Lord's manifestation of how Lord Chaitanya explains the devotional service, the essence, they have, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence, that logicians can't understand. So it's just the way it is. The Lord's manifestation of ecstatic symptoms upon hearing Ratnagarbha Acharya recite with devotion a verse in glorification of Krishna. The Lord's explanation to his students that verbs are the energies of Lord Krishna. Because, right? Otherwise, how does things happen unless it's Krishna's energy? So the verb that is able to, one, convey the meaning of action, and that will generate result, you know, and that relationship between the subject and the object. And at the same time is the action that nouns can therefore produce in connection with the verb. Because the noun on its own is static. It's when it's connected with the verb that it becomes. So that's the whole point, is that primary nouns are those that are directly connected with the verb. Secondary nouns are ones that are not directly connected. Right? They're in support of the verb or those nouns. Right? They're connected. Does that make sense? Well, what were you hearing today, just that we're on that topic? Remember he was talking about the first case, fourth case, and eighth case?
Yes. The first case, the
Hari Haraya.
Oh, yeah. You know the song Hari Haraya Nama Krishna?
Yeah.
Yadavaya Nama? Lord Chaitanya is singing that. So who is explaining that?
I forget who was explaining that.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One of the acharyas is you have Hari, Haraya, Nama, and Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? So he's saying that they're each the name of Krishna in the in three different cases. In the first case, then the same word becomes Hari. In the fourth case, it becomes Haraye. In the eighth case, it becomes Krishna. The vocative, yeah, like that. And so, it's the three aspects of you know how you say Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, like that. So it's giving the same aspects as are there in the Maha Mantra. So that's why this goes together with the Maha Mantra. You know, you do Kirtan and the Hare Krishna Mantra, and then Prabhupada mentioned in Mayapur, then, you know, the Kirtan's ended with the Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Gopal Govindaram Shimadu Sadan. Does that make sense? No? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it interesting? I'd never heard that's specifically why it's there.
Sometimes devotees, they chant the whole thing, or sometimes they chant as Mahaprabhu chanted.
Yeah, you can do either one. If you're doing the whole thing, then generally you tend to also do the whole song. But if you only know that part. But otherwise, if you do it just as Lord Chaitanya did, then it works nicely in the same thing. But when you're sitting and doing bhajans and that's the time when you can do the whole thing and, you know, nicely. Though I have seen devotees use it in kirtan. Sattvic, he always used to use it in the evening kirtan. But he knew the whole song. And so he would do, and you know the evening kirtan just keeps going forever. So, you know, it's after they blow the conch and all, then he start that one, and then they go around and like that back and forth and everything like that. Oh, okay. We finished that part?
Not quite. Almost.
Verbs, okay. The Lord's blessings and the students crying when the Lord thereafter bids them goodbye. The Lord's author's lamentation on remembering all these pastimes of Gaura. And finally, the process for performing Krishna Sankirtana is described by the Lord to his students. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.